Last night, over across the bay, there was a big parade. Yeah, and there was one animal that kept showing up because it is the year of that animal. But often in the New Year's parades, there are other animals that follow along on the path, on the parade route. And it did remind me of the story of Balaam, or at least part of the story of Balaam, the most famous part of the story of Balaam. So this morning, I just want to walk through the story, and maybe we can see some good storytelling and some very nuanced messages that might affect us, that might be good for us. The beginning of the larger story of Balaam, and it takes up a few chapters, was just read, thank you so much, was just read for us. Israel is threatening Moab and Balak. So Balak, the king of Moab, tries to hire the famous prophet of Yahweh, Balaam, son of Beor, there's his name up there, who was a seer. Okay, a seer. So let me take just a brief second. A seer is someone who, oh, you're going to love this, sees things. That's there you go. Sometimes things are just as easy as they seem. He's the one who would have the visions. He sees the other world. He can see the divine dimension. That's what he does. He's a seer. And he is being hired. And you think, oh, that's just terrible. No, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. When Saul goes to find his donkeys and goes to Samuel, he says, okay, we got to bring him some money. That's how prophets and seers made their living. You go to them and you say, you know, I need some advice. And they say, okay, that'll be $10. And off you go. That's how it works. We tend to think far more spiritual about that. No, they got it. Prophets got to eat too. So the fact that Balak says, I'm going to go hire this guy, he hires him because he's the most famous guy. And what he says, darn it, it comes true. So if I can get this guy to curse Israel, we're in Fat City, I can win. And you heard the story. He sends the nobles with the money, and Balaam says, yeah, I'll go. No, Balaam says, hang on. Let me check with the boss and see what we can do. He hears from Yahweh. He hears from Yahweh. Did you notice that Balaam isn't part of Israel? He's a foreigner. And yet God is working through him. The Israelite God works through someone who's not part of Israel. There's something you may want to remember. Even Jesus made comments like this. He talked about, I have sheep not of this fold. God is doing things all over. I don't like to limit God. But here we have a story of God having a prophet who is not part of the people of Israel. So this famous guy, so Balaam goes to Yahweh. We heard that read, and Yahweh says, nope, these folks are blessed. Don't curse them. Balaam, being the very obedient fellow, pops out the next morning and says, hey, guys, can't help you. Bye-bye. So off they go. They go to Balak, and he says, no, I really need this. So here's more people, better people, more money. Send it off. And what does Balaam answer? I'm going, no. He says, I got to check with the boss. Now, is that a bad thing? Some people have said, oh, he should never have checked. Others have said, well, the rest of the Bible seems to indicate that's exactly what you would do. That's a troubling part of this story. We'll talk in a second. So he says, I got to check with the boss. He goes, he checks with Yahweh. And Yahweh says, hey, oh, wait, we're not there yet. Oh, go back. We haven't even gotten to the intro yet. My goodness. I just looked at, that's what happens when you look down at the people and not up at the, there you are. Oh, goodness. Actually, I noticed you were looking up, and it's like, what's changed over there? Okay. So he finds out from God, don't go. And he says, hey, I can't go on the first time. But the second time, God says, you can go. As a matter of fact, what was read in Act 1, Scene 1 is verse 20, the last verse that was read a minute ago. Then God came to Balaam at night, which is a standard sort of thing. Then he said to him, if they've come to call you, if these guys have come to call you to go, get up, go with them. Those are two imperatives. They are orders. They're instructions. You must get up and go with them, but only speak the word that I tell you. Okay, now we can go to the next slide. So that is actually the very first part of the first act of this little story. What we have here is a story within the larger story, this famous little story. So we are here, and God has said to go, and the reader then says, should he go? And as a good reader, we would say, well, there's no reason not to. God has told him to go. He ought to go. But what is the only caveat he has? You must only speak what I tell you to speak. Okay. Balaam has already indicated that's how he functions, by saying no to the first time. So, Act 1, we see it's three-part. This is a very well-constructed story. Act 1 is three parts. Then he got up, Balaam, in the morning. Then he saddled his female donkey, and it's important that you know it's female donkey, because that'll be part of the story. It doesn't come out in the English. And if I were maybe in another setting, not Sunday morning, I would actually say she's his female ass, because that's going to be really a key part of the story. We'll get to it later. But we'll use donkey for now. I like to call her Miss Donkey. So then he went with the leaders of Moab. Okay, so that's scene two. So Yahweh responded, and then Balaam responds to Yahweh in obedience. He does what he's told. Now, a couple of points. You see up there, and you saw it on the first slide, this kind of stuff. This is a plaster, piece of plaster from Jordan, from a place called Deir Allah. From 750 BC, it was part of a wall plastering, and in the earlier slide, you could maybe make out a couple little scribbles on it. It is a story, another set of stories of Balaam that were plastered on a wall outside a building in this town of Deir Allah in Jordan, across the river, right where you'd expect him to be. So we know that this Balaam fellow was in fact a real life person, or at least a really, really famous story, because you have another story. I point that out. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about it in Sunday school. But in the story, three times the story calls him Balaam, son of Beor, just like the biblical text. And it also says that God comes to him at night. And it also says that when God does that, he gets up in the morning and goes. Just like the biblical text. So the biblical text, even though the stories are different, they echo each other. And we see that plastered on a wall is another story of this Balaam. So he was really famous. Because if we take the biblical text to be no later than 1200 BC, and the text from Deir Allah is 750 BC, then they're still telling his stories 500 years later. And plastering him on the wall. So he's one famous fellow. So we have him. He's here. He gets up. He's going to do what God says. He saddles his donkey and he goes with the leaders, the officials, the whatever you want to call them of Moab. The third scene, though, is a bizarre little piece, because the third scene then says, but he, God, became incensed. And the Hebrew there literally is his nose burned. God's nose burned. That's an important little piece. This is such a wonderfully told story. You're going to love it. If you like laughing, this is a good story, because you're supposed to laugh at this story. I'm just preparing you, because some people approach the Bible and say, oh, it cannot be that way. No, this is a great little story. So God's nose burned, and then it says, because, so it gives you the reason, because he was going. Wait a minute, he just told him to go. Now he's mad at him for going. Many times throughout the biblical text, we have these kinds of conundrums, where it seems like, well, we're doing the, and then we're doing, life can be so confusing sometimes. But the thing we're not sure of is why God was suddenly angry. Should Balaam have defied him? and not went. I can imagine God would be angry then too. The text says that God was angry because he was going, but offers no explanation of his reasoning. Well, why does that make him mad? I would suggest that this disconnect is very intentional in the telling of this story. It is meant to jar the listener or the reader. You're supposed to go, hey, wait a minute. What's that? And that is going to be helpful in making you read or listen to more of the story. It sets up a question in the reader's mind, and the readers or hearers must solve that question. You've set it up for yourself, the story set, and you go, okay, I want to find out what's going on here. And so you read the story. That's just good storytelling. And this is one of the best stories told in the Bible. This is an excellent, excellent story. So it may also serve for us today to remind us that we don't always understand exactly what God is doing in the world or in our lives. Sometimes it's just confusing and we have to move ahead. So we do. So there we have the setup, these three parts of our little tale. Balaam is going and God is mad and the hearer doesn't know why. What a great story so far. Oh, and I do want to point out that our story here from verse 20 to verse 35 is actually a separate unit story. It's a separate story all in itself. And I want to point out how we know that. You heard read verse 20. We've now did it. God said, go with them, but speak only what I tell you to do. If you jump down to verse 35, the end of this story, you'll find the following. Then he said, the Malach Yahweh, we'll get to who that is in a minute, to Balaam, go with the men. But in the end, the word which I utter to you, it only will you utter. Then Balaam went with the leaders of Balak. We don't get anywhere with this story. That's where we started. So something else is going to have to go on in this story to make it worth your while to read. You wouldn't know that until you got there. But I'm telling you, this is a self-contained story with a purpose all its own. It doesn't advance the plot. The plot starts out with him going, and the plot finishes with him going. We've not gotten anywhere. So there must be something else going on here. I think it gives us a pretty good lesson wrapped up in a clever little story. So, next slide. Yes, act one. I should say act two. Yes, it does. The second act of our little tale consists of three scenes with four parts each that are parallel to each other, with just the details being different. Three identical scenes that just have the details different. So let me read a little bit to you. Act two, scene one. Then he planted himself. And I know your Bibles may not say that, but that's a good rendering of the Hebrew. Then he planted himself. The Malach Yahweh, we'll get to who the heck that is in a minute, in the path as a Satan against him. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff. So we've got a picture of somebody planting himself in the middle of the path as an adversary, an oppressor, a Satan. That's the word. That's what this character is. Against Balaam. Wow, so God really had a burning nose about this. He sends somebody to plant him there. Then you continue, but he, and I love this, and it's not written up. You have to get this in your Bible. That's just the outline. But he, Balaam, he was just riding along. That's how the Hebrew reads that. He was just riding along on this donkey and his two servants with him. Okay, did you like the servants? That's all you get. They don't appear again. They don't do anything. That's all you get. These are just magical servants who just are there. They're never mentioned again in this story. I don't know why they're there. They serve no purpose unless you want to think about the Abraham story with Isaac, where he too takes along two servants who do absolutely nothing and disappear from the story. I think it's just something that happened in the ancient world. You take two servants along for some reason and nobody cares. But in any event, he's got them. But you get the idea that you've got this being, this Malach Yahweh, we'll get to it, planted in the road as an adversary, an opposer. He's planted there, and ignorant, nonchalant Balaam is just riding along. Yep, okay, we're moving along. Yes, thank you so much for laughing. You are supposed to be laughing at Balaam. Very good. See, we can have a lot of fun at this. Yeah, okay. So that's scene A. That is the Malak Yahweh response. Again, we'll talk about who that is in just a second. Then Miss Donkey saw the Malak Yahweh planted in the path and his sword being drawn in his hand. So it's kind of, he's got it kind of ready. So you got him now. There he is. He is doing what? He's planted, he's blocking the path. Okay. Then that's the donkey. Then she acts, she responds, she sees first, then she responds. Then she turned aside, Miss Donkey, from the path, and she went into the field. Okay? So she sees this thing and says, yeah, we're not going that way, we're going to go this way. How great. And what's your picture of Balaam here? What's the problem here? She sees, what about the seer? The seer does not see. Ho, ho, ho. Yes, yes. The donkey see, the female, but he doesn't. Okay, so how does he respond? Well, he hits her, he beats her to turn her aside into the path. Get on it. What are you doing? Get back to the path. Get back to the path. Now, apparently, they were able to move on. And on they went. Did you see the four parts? There they are. Did you notice how the elements of each were used again and again in the same spots? So he plants in the path, she sees in the path, she turns aside from the path, and Balaam beats her to go into the path. Over and over again. This is just very good storytelling. Did you notice how wide the path was here? Did you pick up on that? Well, where does she go when she sees? She trundles off into a field. Fields are big, wide things. So the path is a big, wide space. She could just move over to the field. Okay. So this is a very, we'll see how that works. She could just turn and walk into the path. Did you notice that Miss Donkey was able to compensate for the danger in the path? Smart Miss Donkey. Did you notice how nonchalant Balaam became a bit more active finally in his response? Did you notice it may have been the wrong response? But we'll get to that. Did you notice the seer Balaam could obviously not see the Malak Yahweh? Hopefully, and you did, laugh at that. So what is this Malak Yahweh? In the New Testament, we know of a word that is a transliteration. See, first we're going to learn Greek. The transliteration of a Greek word. At Christmas time, who do the shepherds hear from? Oh, angels. Did you know that's a Greek word? That's not an English word. It's a transliteration of the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. The Hebrew word for messenger is malach, not angel. Even though your Bibles all say angel, that's the Greek word. Malach is the Hebrew word. Now, this Malak Yahweh, it's a big thing. Sometimes the Malak Yahweh is simply some guy who comes up and says, "Hi, I got a message for you." Sometimes the Malak Yahweh is what we would normally think of, oh, I hate using the word, as an angel. Sometimes the Malak Yahweh is a messenger that is actually Yahweh himself. The key here is messengers bring the message from the one who sent them. So they are seen almost the same as that person. So if I bring a message from President Orge of the seminary, the words that I speak are his words. They're not mine. So at that moment, I am Jeff Orge. I may not be 5 minutes from, but that's how that works. So you'll see that within the biblical text. Maybe we'll talk about it a bit more in Sunday school, but this just means a messenger. Now, he's got a sword in his hand. Are we supposed to remember Joshua 5, where Joshua, outside of Jericho, meets up with some guy who's got a drawn sword and says, "I'm the commander of the Lord's army"? Maybe, but that guy doesn't speak for Yahweh. This guy will speak for Yahweh when we get down. So that's the Malak Yahweh. We have the angel of the Lord, but I teach Hebrew. I don't teach Greek. So we call him the Malak Yahweh. I don't know why the Greek has to have that, I tell you. So that's scene one. Now let's look at the other scenes. You see the parts of the scenes. Let's see the other scenes. And you'll notice there the other two are identical, except for the details. Beginning in verse 24. Next the Malak Yahweh stood in the narrow path of the vineyards, a stone wall on this side and a stone wall on that side. Then she saw Miss Donkey, the Malak Yahweh, so she shoved herself into the dividing wall, and she shoved Balaam's foot into the dividing wall, so he beat her again. Did you notice that it's the same four stories? Only what's the difference? The path has gotten more narrow, and there's a wall now, but she is still able to get beside the angel. She still is able to go on the way. And she still gets beat for her troubles. What are you thinking of Balaam so far? So same four elements are there. She's still compensating. So he beats her again, even though she's doing the right thing. Just a moment here. How often have you felt that way in your life? Where you get beat for doing the right thing. Know that you and the donkey have something in common. Yeah. How did she respond? She just kept going. How do you respond? Maybe keeping going is a good thing. So the third scene of our little story here, our middle section, once again, oh yeah, here we are. He moved further on, the Malak Yahweh moved further on. Now he stood in a slender place where there was no way to turn aside right or left. That's a phrase in the biblical text meaning complete obedience. You can't turn aside to the right or the left. You must go straight as Yahweh wants. Again, Miss Donkey saw the Malak Yahweh. So this time she lays down under Balaam. She now plants herself. As is planting himself, she now plants herself. See how the pieces all kind of meld together. And so now, on the third time, notice, good Bible number, 3. Yeah, just letting you know. This time, Balaam gets angry. Oh, so we started the story with Yahweh getting angry, and now Balaam gets angry. So what's he going to do? And he beats Miss Donkey with his diviner's staff. The very thing that he was supposed to use to gain the will of God, he uses it as a weapon. So by now, you're looking at this and you're saying, oh, I see the parts. And hopefully you're starting to see all of the little pieces coalesce. Did you notice all those details? The seer who doesn't see while the female donkey, yeah, the female ass, does. The Malak Yahweh with a sword in his hand, only threatening violence. Balaam with his diviner staff in his hand, used improperly for violence. The path that gets narrower and narrower each time, thus making the situation more dangerous or treacherous each time. The Malak Yahweh blocking the path, but allowing Miss Donkey to bypass him twice, but finally trapping the situation on the third time. Miss Donkey trying to obey both Balaam and the obvious danger in the path. Miss Donkey getting punished for acting to save the seer on the path and the seer traveling to see if Yahweh will punish the Israelites. Yahweh's anger paralleled with Balaam's. The blissfully ignorant seer. It's just all very important to the story. All these little details. But we often read it like it's a history lesson and we miss this wonderful storytelling. Did you notice how much this reading is like a children's story so far? Yes, you're supposed to notice that. It is meant to read like that. Welcome to the wonderful storytelling of the ancient world and the Hebrew Bible. Yes, indeed. Did you notice that everything in the story is actually a response to something else? Everything is a response. Maybe that's part of the whole point of the story is, how will you respond? How do you respond? How will Balaam respond to the words of Yahweh? Miss Dunk, Yahweh responds to Balaam's request. Balaam responds to Yahweh's instruction. Yahweh responds to Balaam's going. Miss Donkey responds to the Malach Yahweh. Balaam responds to Miss Donkey. I don't know how all this responding is going to end. All of this is still not answering, though, the question of God's burning nose. He keeps, the Malach Yahweh keeps letting him go by until the last time. What in the world is going on? We haven't reached the payoff of the story, the tale yet, where the author finally makes his point. We're just getting the run-up. We're getting the enjoyable part. We're getting sucked into the story. In the very well-structured last act of this little tale, you can click the slide, we get the payoff. Here, we find three question and answer exchanges, three. Oh, how's interesting. The first act had three things. The second act has three things. And the third act has three things. Do you think this is an intentionally told story? Yes, that's the correct answer is yes. Yeah. So here we find three question and answer exchanges initiated by two interventions by Yahweh with two responses, more responses, from Balaam. Notice that questions and answers are also questions and responses. This whole story has been about responding. More responses. I think that's part of the tale. How should and how do we respond to Yahweh? Even when Yahweh does things that aren't very clear to us or seem counter to what he's told us. So let's see how this all plays out in Act 3. Verse 28, we get the first intervention of Yahweh. Then he opened, Yahweh, the mouth of Miss Donkey. Now, you got to notice here, in spite of what preachers have been preaching for a long time, God does not speak through the donkey. I have heard sermons, if God could speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. Well, that's just baloney. God does not speak through this animal. God opens its mouth and enables her to speak for herself. And that is very clear from what she says. All you vegans out there, you are rejoicing because this is for you here. Yeah. So that's the intervention. Let's see what happens. You get Q&A number one. So she, all on her own, asked Balaam, "Hey, why did you do that? Why did you hit me three times?" Now, you don't get this in Hebrew, in English, so I'll tell you, because the Hebrew is lovely here. The word times, three times, in the Hebrew is actually a more rare word, and it comes from the word meaning foot, meaning three steps. It's actually a clever little pun on the whole idea that this story is all about walking on the path. And so these three times, they're using this little word, and it's a clever little word. You just don't get that in English. It's hard to. So, hey, what are you doing? Hitting me these three steps. Then he answered Balaam. To me, he answered Miss Donkey. Because you repeatedly played a dirty trick on me. And the Hebrew actually there does mean dirty trick. And that's what he thinks. You played this dirty trick on me. If only there had been a sword in my hand. What has been in his hand? The diviner's staff that he's already beat her with, that he wasn't supposed to. If there had only been a sword in my hand, by now, I would have killed you. Now, every reader goes, yeah, but there has been a sword in a hand in this story, and it hasn't been for Miss Donkey. And had it not been, yeah, you're already going there, you idiot. You blind idiot. So that's the first question answer. Then we get the second question and answer on its heels. So, Miss Donkey asked Balaam, really? Am I not your Miss Donkey on whom you have been riding from long ago to this very day? Has it ever been my habit to do this kind of stuff to you? It's like, really? We have been pals for years. And suddenly you want to kill me? Really? Really? Has it ever been my habit? And then one of the great lines in the Bible, then Balaam said, no. It's great. Yes, it's like the great seer who's filled with words and he gives all these prophecies. Finally, he's asked a direct question. No. No. So maybe there's something else going on here you don't see, pal. And he kind of goes, well, maybe. So we're back to nonchalant, or perhaps better, a subdued Balaam by the questioning of Miss Donkey. The donkey bests Balaam at riddles. Yeah. So really, I'm going to jump ahead to the payoff here. So the big question, let's see, anybody listening? We're all adults in here. Really, part of this whole story is, who's the real ass here? Just saying. Yeah. Welcome to the Old Testament. Yeah. So at that question and answer, we get intervention number two from Yahweh. Then he, and it's, your Bibles will undoubtedly say open here. Do they? Does anybody have any other word in verse 31 other than then Yahweh opened the eyes? Didn't think so. That's the wrong word. The word for the mouth of the donkey is pachat, meaning to open. This word means unveiled, or did something mystical to where he could see what he was supposed to see. This is not simply open your eyes. This is unveiling. This is a much more mysterious word. And so it's not, I mean, if you think making a donkey talk is a rough go, this was even harder to make Balaam see. That's where the Hebrew gets you. So he unveiled, Yahweh unveils the eyes of Balaam, which is parallel to the donkey, but on a step further. Then he saw, finally, the Malach Yahweh. Oh, good. He's finally on board with this. Planted in the road and the sword being drawn in his hand. Exactly the way it was pictured very early on in the story. Parallel to what Miss Donkey saw, the seer now sees just like a female ass. Are you laughing at Balaam yet? Yes, you should be. So then we have Balaam's response. He's been answering questions, but now he responds, and his first response is a visual one. It's an action. It's something he does. He knelt and he bowed down, in the Hebrew, to his nose. So we start out with Yahweh's nose burning, and now Balaam, when he's finally subdued, his nose touches the ground in obeisance. Nose to nose. The story is so rich in these little pieces. We see the response. We see the response of Balaam the seer. And it's a good response. Don't miss that. That's a good thing to do. So then upon that response, now you got a picture. Balaam is sitting here like this on the ground, all the way prostrate, not getting up. And then he questions him. The Malach Yahweh questions Balaam. So you've got him. Yeah, you got him in the position you need him to be. Yeah, okay, you just stay there. I'm going to ask you a question. The donkey, he was still on top of her, I assume, or at least next to her. So the Malach Yahweh questions Balaam. Okay, why did you strike Miss Donkey these three times, these three steps? Exactly what the donkey asked. Isn't that great? Yahweh and the donkey speak the same language. Yeah. He's going to echo, the God is echoing the donkey. This is great. So for those of you who feel like a female donkey on days, know that she's the hero of this story. Yeah. This is the exact same question. Instead of allowing the bowing Balaam to answer, he doesn't wait for an answer. Yahweh continues on and gives the correct answer. Look here, pal. Yeah, that's behold. Yeah, looky here, pal. I myself came out against you as a Satan, as an adversary, as an oppressor. I mean, as an opposition. Why? Oh, good. Finally, we're going to find out what's going on here. And because, now, your versions are going to have a lot of different things. What I believe this actually is in the Hebrew is an aphorism. It's a little parabolic statement, kind of like a proverb, if you will. And the proverb is, treacherous the path opposite to me. Any path that you travel on that is contrary to me, opposite to me. Remember, Yahweh had come out as, or the Malach Yahweh had come out as a what? An opposite, an oppressor, an opposer, an adversary, a Satan. So I can be an opposer, but if you go opposite me, your path is, and the Hebrew there is slippery, steep, treacherous. I like treacherous because it has a lot of verve to it. But yeah, little proverb. Yahweh finally tells why he's angry. Why he was an opposer or a Satan to Balaam. A path that is opposed to mine, he says, is slippery, steep, and dangerous, and you're going to die. So that's not the path you want to get on. So there it is. There's the point to this little tale. I guess we're all done. Well, let's flesh that out a bit. Do not travel on a path that is contrary or opposite to Yahweh. Yeah, that's pretty apparent. But there's still a problem here. Is that what Balaam has already done? He's on the path, and Yahweh, the Malach, has let him go twice. So what's going on here? God didn't stop him from going on the path. God let him go. I'm not sure, but the story itself, now that we have this, seems more like a warning to Balaam rather than a cessation of the action he's on. And if it's a warning, then we want to try to figure out what's the warning. The issue then is, if you're warned about something, how will you respond? How do you respond when you're warned? Will he respond as well as the female donkey? I hope so. Let's see. This is the message to the reader, the hearer of this tale as well. Beware, be warned, be sure to notice that this planting, blocking, opposing act by the Malach Yahweh serves to save Balaam, not kill him. To warn him from taking the wrong path. But what is the wrong path? Does God know what Balaam is capable of doing if presented with too much money? I don't know. Hard to say. Is God afraid that Balaam might not do only what Yahweh says? Is that the warning here? You're going, but don't do anything. I told you what you had to do. I don't trust you, boy, because you're kind of doop 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 doop. You're just moving along. I want to drive home. You only do what I tell you to do. Well, that's what I think of the story. So God seeks to prevent that possible action by warning Balaam in a very visual manner, in a most memorable and very in-your-face sort of way, quite literally. And now Yahweh explains, finishing up, the aphorism in terms of this story. So he says, treacherous is the path contrary to me. Then he says, but she, Miss Donkey, she saw me. So she turned aside at my face three times, But what would have happened if she had not turned aside these three times? Yahweh asked the question from my face. Then by now, kind of echoing Balaam a minute ago, certainly you I would have killed, and her I would have let live. Yeah, she's so much better than you, Balaam. I can make a donkey into a prophet, sure. Pretty darn ironic, don't you think? Balaam would have killed the donkey with a sword, yet she saved his life from the sword. Since Miss Donkey obeyed and responded appropriately, she gets to live. There's the lesson. Respond appropriately and live. Respond badly and die. Finally, we get to hear Balaam's verbal response, important since he is going to be told to speak the words of Yahweh. We want to find out beyond, no, what he can say. What's he going to do? So we get to his response, the verbal response, and notice this response. Balaam says to the Malak Yahweh, I have sinned. Careful. We'll get to that in a second. For I did not know that you were planted to intercept me in the path. Note that Balaam rightly admits ignorance only. We may laugh at the seer who did not see as well as the donkey, but he has not had a moral failing. He has not sinned like we want sin to be. He is only ignorant, and ignorance has now been corrected. He now knows, but must be constantly guarded against. Yahweh says to Balaam, don't be blind to my words and wishes when you prophesy to Balak. Speak the words of my path, not yours. Listen to me first. And that then is the message for us today. We must always guard our steps to stay on the path God wants us on. But how do we do that? We all buy a donkey. I think that'll do it. No, we must stay in constant relationship with God, because treacherous is the path that is contrary to him. We must guard against our own ignorance and blindness to God's path for us. And when a donkey tells us we may be heading for trouble, we can confess our ignorance and ask God what he wants us to do from here. Hopefully you do have donkeys in your life who can help you see, who can point things out, who can protect you and help you. What a beautiful message for the believer. We have a God who cares about our path, our life, our ministries. We will will correct us even before we make bad mistakes. A God who warns us if we'll only listen and not beat up the messenger. Like Balaam, this requires that we ask God what he expects of us and that we keep asking as situations shift in our daily lives. Balaam is not castigated in this story for going the second time. Later on, that's why people say, oh, well, he went the second day, he should never have gone. Really? God told him to go. But he has to do it right. He has to travel the path right. Balaam has one more lesson for us, his willingness to obey. Balaam speaks in the last piece of this story, showing that he is wanting to be on God's path only, wherever or whatever that is. The end of his comment is, so now, talking to the Malak Yahweh, I will go back home on my own if continuing on this path is bad in your eyes. I will do whatever you want. And that's what God wanted to hear. You're going to do exactly what I want? Great. Then we can move along. And that's where we get to. The epilogue of our story, if you go to the last slide, the epilogue of our story then finishes it up and says, as we've already said, then he said the Malak Yahweh to Balaam, go with the men, but in the end, only the word which I utter to you, you will utter. Then Balaam went with the nobles of Balak. We're right back where we started. But what have we gained in this story? Well, it's a fun little children's story told in a fanciful, creative, humorous, and stylized manner to engage the hearer and draw them in to want to get to the point. And the point is we may not always know exactly what God is doing in our lives and in our world, but we need to try to stay on the path that he has given to us. And in order to do that, we must always be willing to see what he's doing through ongoing relationship and good friends like donkeys, and speak only the words he gives us. In other words, we need to find out what God is doing in our lives, find out what God has told us to do, and then obey what he tells us to do. And make sure we have folks in our lives who can correct us when we want to power through on a path that is treacherous. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you for this little fun story with so much nuance and so much meaning. We pray that it will remind us to constantly be in communication with you to find out where we are to put our next step, where our foot is to fall next. We thank you for those in our lives who can help us, who will speak truth to us. And we ask, Lord God, that you would be our vision, that we would always know your path. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.